Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Otto Energy Full Year 2021 Financial Results Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would like to now hand it over to you, Mr. Mike Alzat, Chairman, Executive Chairman, and CEO. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Bree. Hello and welcome again to Otto Energy's 2021 Financial Year Investor Update. My name is Mike Utsler, and with me is Sergio Castro this evening. Sergio is Otto's Chief Financial Officer. We will open this call by referencing a presentation which we released earlier this morning with some prepared comments. Following this, as you heard, we will then open the lines to question and answers. We ask that during the question and answer session that you limit your questions to one question plus one follow-up to allow as many questions as possible to be accommodated. We certainly will work hard to try to ensure that everyone's comments or questions are heard. Before we begin, it's important that I share with you briefly from the presentation the disclaimer notice. There are three key messages within that disclaimer's notice for everyone to recognize. First of all, the review will have forward-looking statements. We do in fact have reserve disclaimers, as we will be talking about our reserves, present and future, and we will be quoting U.S. currencies unless we otherwise note throughout the presentation. Given this is our first investor call, I'd like to simply set the stage for our discussing Otto Energy and its performance. As we look at slide three in the package released, you know, essentially Otto Energy is listed on the ASX under the symbol OEF. We have 4.795 billion shares outstanding, and we have 96 million options and performance rights issued. We're currently trading at $0.011 today on the market, and we closed yesterday at $0.01 per share on Tuesday, September 28th. Also worth noting is we, as of June 30th, with this financial report, we had a cash balance in the bank of $11.1 million. We had share rights to 14.272 million shares of Pantheon stock, currently valued at $13.97 million. We have a debt as of June 30th of $11.5 million. If we now move to slide four, touching on 2021's financial year highlights as outlined in our release, we've seen significant progress on a number of fronts. Particularly, we've improved our cash flows, we've improved our balance sheet, we've improved our liquidity, and that's been a result of our abilities to increase our production on a full year basis, while also benefiting obviously from improved prices and our focus on continuing to decrease costs. Sergio, during his review of the operating and financial highlights of the year, will go into greater details on all of these aspects. As we turn to slide five, achieving these results have been driven by the development and ongoing execution of our corporate strategy and by adhering to the values that we work to as a company. Our strategy, as we've developed, is focused on three fronts. Pillar one, which is focused on optimizing the impacts from our existing wells in our three non-operated assets that we currently own in the Gulf of Mexico. Pillar two is the focus on developing plans to allow us to maximize our investments to progress the resources to reserves to production in these three fields, allowing us to move from our existing 1P reserve basis of 4.1 million barrels of oil equivalents to the development of an additional 2.4 million barrels of oil equivalents as 1P, 2P, with an upside of an additional 2 million barrels plus or minus in 3P resource potentials within those three fields. The backdrop of our organic growth and management of these three fields provides us both the fiscal and the operational potentials to then pursue our Pillar 3 growth strategy. That success in creating greater free cash will allow us to target growth opportunities within the Gulf of Mexico. Importantly, we've recognized, as all, that size and scale in the resource industries matter, and we are seeking to grow both organically within our existing asset base and inorganically through the participation of the drilling and development of resources both in our existing fields and our new opportunities. We're also looking at either the sale or the acquisition of assets and or companies, which could include the merging with companies to build size and scale. But this allocation of capital only occurs if it meets a very demanding and fiscally responsible target of hurdles that, when placed against the constant dynamic competition with the distribution of our proceeds directly with our shareholders via dividends, buybacks, or distributions, gives us the optionality of determining what is in the best interest of our shareholders. As we turn to slide 6, our focus on growing Otto in the short to midterm over the next 1 to 3 years remains squarely focused on identifying opportunities within the onshore and offshore Gulf of Mexico basin. The reason for this is driven simply by the fact that we have extensive technical and commercial knowledge and expertise in the Gulf of Mexico. We have the opportunity to leverage the scale of the types of opportunities that are present in the Gulf onshore and offshore. We combine that with the fact that the Gulf is a mature basin with extensive infrastructure and brings with it fiscal and regulatory stability in which to do business. And finally, the size and scale of the Gulf of Mexico basin provides both the quality and the size of market optionality for moving oil and gas as products into multiple markets at premium prices. And with this overview, I'm now going to turn it over to Sergio Castro, who is our CFO, to provide greater details on our operating and financial 2021 fiscal performance.
Thank you, Mike. I will pick this up on slide 7, where we'll take a look at the specific highlights achieved in fiscal 21. For the operating summary line item, you can see production is up 17% from 2,586 barrels of oil equivalent per day in 2020 to 3,032 barrels of oil equivalent per day in 2021. This was driven by continued strong production at South Mar 71, as well as a full year of production from the Green Number 2 well, which is located in our Lightning field. This improvement also incorporates the lower than expected delivery from the Green Canyon 21. In result of this, the 21 well completed DTR 10 sand in mid-2002. Moving along, we had 97% operating capability, measured as the number of days of production at South Mar 71 and Lightning were online. This is a testament to the ongoing quality to the infrastructure and operator focus. We also had significant cost reductions, such as 62% decrease in field lifting costs and a 28% decrease in non-field lifting costs. These were driven by focusing on the ongoing optimization of all activities with and by the operators and Otto's ongoing efforts to optimize the size of business support and services required. This builds upon the 24% reduction in non-fuel lifting costs we had last year in 2020. Moving on to the financial summary line item, the gearing ratio is down to 19%. This obviously provides greater access for future liquidity. Our adjusted ROCE was up to 39% due to stronger earnings, and our adjusted net income was up to $17.9 million, also due to higher earnings and lower costs. Finally, from a liquidity summary, our debt-to-equity ratio was down to 29% as a result of a 44% reduction in debt. Our cash balance was $11.1 million, which approximates our outstanding debt balance, which was $11.5 million, to be retired by September of 2022, if not sooner. In examining our operating performance further, as shown on slide 8, our production for the year was 1.1 million barrels of oil versus 947,000 barrels of oil in 2020. Cash flow from operating activities was $30.1 million this year versus $23 million last year. And our 1P, 2P, 3P reserves were 8.5 million barrels and continue to have a 13-year R over P. This operating performance comparison is further reflected graphically on page 9, highlighting that we continue to drive our overall break-even costs to enhance our margin realization, and our 2021 fiscal year break-even cost was $8.40, which is a 33% improvement over the prior year historical, or just the historical cost of $11.20. When you compare this against current prices, which doesn't include hedges, of over $76 for oil and $5.95 for gas, we get an all-in weighted price of $58.34 per barrel of oil equivalent. Turning to our financial summary as shown on page 10, I want to highlight that our adjusted EBITDAX was up 74%, our adjusted EBITDA was up 628%, our adjusted EBIT was up 757%, our adjusted net income before tax was up 439%, our earnings per share is up 80%, and our adjusted ROCE was up 711%. It's important to note that we refer to these as adjusted, which removes the non-cash expense of the GP21 impairment of $12.89 million taken in December 2020 and the non-cash unrealized loss on derivatives of roughly $9.7 million. And then as shown graphically on page 11, our financial summary showcases our strengthening income statement and the balance sheet financials. As Mike stated earlier, this is critical to underpinning our ability to grow the company. Turning to our liquidity position, as shown on page 12, I've already discussed our cash on hand versus remaining debt facility obligation, but I do want to highlight our successful conversion of our acreage holdings in Alaska into monetization via the receipt of 14.3 million shares of Pantheon stock. As of July 2021, we exited our lockup period, and these shares are now fully tradable. And as of the close of business September 28th, these shares were worth roughly $14.5 million. This concludes our operating and financial summary, and I'll turn it back to Mike now for his closing comments.
Thank you, Sergio. And certainly it is a good summary of the continuing progress that Otto has been making year on year. Fundamentally, we've stabilized our business in the last year. We've strengthened our balance sheet. We're continuing to focus on the improvement of our margins, and we're positioning the company to grow. And a key to that ability to grow our company is our technical and fiscal discipline, which guides us on our investment decisioning. Slide 13, which we've publicly shared on numerous occasions, reflects the nature of our existing organic criterion on which we use to make decisions to invest in our existing fields, and on the right-hand side reflects our criterion that we're using to assess and evaluate inorganic opportunities to grow and invest in new growth potentials within the Gulf of Mexico. In closing, as we move to slide 14, it's been nearly a year now, or it has been actually a year now, since I joined Otto in September of 2020. And over the course of this year, we positioned the company to continue to develop and demonstrate its potentials by clarifying its forward strategy. We've greatly increased our operating and financial performance transparency. We've aggressively engaged the marketplace with investor and investor communities through refreshing our website and communications tools. We've utilized a variety of virtual forums such as the Share Cafe, Broker Briefing, and Good Oil Conferences in Australia, along with the AIPN Annual Expo in the U.S. We've conducted numerous investor roadshows supported by Euros and Fosters in reaching out to connect to institutional retail investors. We've developed and deployed a technical and commercial hopper evaluation process that's allowed us to screen and test many opportunities. In that process over the last 6 months, we've progressed more than 80 opportunities through the hopper, and this is against the backdrop of a very active marketplace in the Gulf of Mexico, onshore and offshore, for consolidation, sales, prospect partnering, and the challenge for seeking capital access. I would also make a point to say that in the last year we've expanded our internal efforts to more fully address our ESG considerations against the backdrop of both our ongoing operations and our future decisioning on new opportunities to invest in. I genuinely am confident that over the next 3 to 5 years, that Otto is positioning itself to deliver real value to our shareholders. I want to thank you, and now we will transition to the Q&A segment of the briefing, where we will also be joined online by two of our additional Otto management team, Will Armstrong and Phil Trajanovich. So I will turn it back to the operator to open the lines for Q&A.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up your headset to ask a question. Your first question comes from Matthew Chen from Foster Stockbroking. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Mike and Sergio. Well done on the result.
Thank you, Matt.
Wanted to get, the most recent update on your hedging position and, framed in another way, your opportunity to participate in, current strong prices or even very strong prices. We'll probably categorize it like that. Thanks.
Sure. Well, we currently have a little over 200,000 barrels of oil hedged as required by our credit facility, and we have a little bit of gas hedged for the remainder of fiscal 21. Back to the oil hedges of roughly 200,000 barrels, that runs through September of 2022 at an average price of roughly $50.19.
That represents approximately 80% of our total production, leaving us with 20% of our production on an oil basis unhedged and open to the full opportunities to access current prices.
Thanks. And just as a follow-up, if I may, so after September 22?
That's correct. That's when our credit facility matures.
And
yeah, we have no hedges beyond.
Yes, it's fully unhedged after beyond September 22.
Correct.
Great, thanks. I'll step back in the queue.
All right, thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Ralph Slavarsky, private investor. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon or evening for you, Mike and Sergio. Look, I've got a fairly straightforward question. I know what you've done in the representation of the numbers with impairments and the unrealized gains, but I mean the presentation of the FY21 results really does rely very heavily on just one word, which is adjusted, and the view of what the EBIT number is and how it gets reported. And that's changed from 2020, and it's even changed from the most recent roadshow presentation. And that clearly has a very, very large effect on ROCE, what the reported EBITDA number is. So my question is, what made you switch to using an adjusted EBIT number? And why do you think it's a better representative measure for the underlying performance of the company and its earnings potential?
Well, I think just that, Ralph, you mentioned potential. You know, the adjusted number does take out the one-time impairment cost of the GC21 well. It was impacted by several things, cost overruns, and, of course, that well is behind us now. Those costs have been fully paid, as well as the less-than-expected performance of the MP sand. So we do believe those two things to be one-time events, and they should not have an effect going forward. So to give you a feel for what the ongoing business would look like, we removed that one. The unrealized gain loss on derivatives, there was such a large spike in prices. Again, that's a non-cash event. It's an accounting item, if you will. Using these adjusted items gives you more of a cash basis earnings effect. And again, I think it's just more more representative of what the true results are going forward.
Can I ask then why you wouldn't take out the positive impact of the sale that you've recognized? Or is that somehow... You've got a seven
well,
plus million... That's a one-off as well,
sure.
Right?
Sure, so when we... Well, true, but when we release our results, you know, we detail very clearly what's in and what's out. So you can easily add back in anything you want or exclude anything you want.
Right.
It's laid out in very fine detail.
Okay. Can I ask the question slightly differently? You're very positive on a ROCE measurement, right? So from a company's performance measure, what should we expect? Should we now expect the adjusted EBITDA to be the measure by which you're measuring the company?
It should be, yes.
Okay. And that adjustment would be following what this presentation has.
Correct. And we adjusted it for the prior year as well, so it's apples to apples.
Yeah, I've seen that. I mean, it's changed from the most recent investor presentation. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I will now hand back to Mr. Ulzer for closing remarks.
Thank you, Bree. You know, in closing, I want to thank everybody for the opportunities to have participated in this call this evening and or today, your daytime in Australia, and to thank you for your continuing interest in Otto Energy. We truly believe that while we recognize it's been a challenging past 18 months, that as a company, we repositioned the company from both a financial performance standpoint and from a future growth potential standpoint to be able to capture what we believe is significant opportunities going on, as well as start seeing them realize the true value of the underlying base as a company. Again, we want to take your time, and we appreciate this opportunity. We look forward to future briefings.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.